Today's shir is Masech Demari Katan Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin on the base, four lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanim. Kshem Sha'amru. Just like Chazal taught us, Osla Galeich B'moyed, that a haircut can't be taken in Chalamoyed, as we discussed so much over the last couple of shiurim. Kach Osla Litol Tzepanayim B'moyed. So too nails may not be cut on Chalamoyed. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yossi allows nails to be cut on Cholamoid. Machloikas Rishonim, what is the basis of the machloikas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? One approach I saw is that Rabbi Yossi holds that leaving one's nails long is particularly repulsive, and that's why Chazal would have not said that it's prohibited to cut nails on Cholamoid. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Another approach is that if one takes a haircut before Chol HaMoed, he could survive the 8 days of Yontif without another haircut. But on the other hand, even if one cuts his nails before Yontif, they may grow and they'll need to be cut. And that's why Rabbi Yossi says they may be cut. Rabbi Yehuda says, make sure that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Another way that I saw that Ritva explains the machlokes of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is actually based on a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah talks about a yifas toyer, that if somebody goes to war, he finds and he meets a non-Jewish woman whom he wants to marry, so he brings her home, and the Torah goes through a whole process of how she's treated. And one of the dinim the Torah teaches us is va'asusa es tziporneha. So if Yossi holds, it means that she should let her nails grow long, and it's to make her repulsive. So we don't want to be repulsive on Chol HaMoed. That's why we're allowed to cut the nails on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says that that's not for us as a tziponel. Us as a tziponel, you cut our nails, or it's a whole different concept that we can't compare to Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Continues the Gemara. Kshem sha'amru avol osur, leach b'mei evloi. Just like we learned, and an oval is not allowed to take a haircut. Kachos little tzemadai b'mei evloi, so too if somebody's an oval rachmanslan, he may not cut his nails. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Yossi, again, is matter, he's more makel in this area. Oma Ula, so says Ula, halach Rabbi Yehuda b'ovel, by a verus we're machmer and don't allow nails to be cut. Halach Rabbi Yossi b'moyed, chalamoyed, Ula allows nails to be cut. Shmuramer, Shmuel, on the other hand, says Halach Rabbi Yossi b'moed u'bam ovel, that both Chol HaMoed and be'avelus nails may be cut. Dama Shmuel Halach k'divrei mekel be'ovel. We're always more lenient when we have a machloikus or a shaila regarding hilchos avelus. We'll finish learning the sugya and then we'll speak halach l'maisa, because there's a lot of different factors that the Gemara discusses, and Mitzvah Shem will finish the sugi, we'll talk halach l'maisa. But as we learn through the sugi, just to understand what the Gemara is teaching us. So Mefarshim say that Shmuel is teaching us that whenever there's a question of hilchos avelus, we'll make it. So Mefarshim ask, Shmuel is actually being redundant. First Shmuel says, halach Rabbi Yossi b'moed be'ovel. We know as we started today's shir, Rabbi Yossi is the one that holds that during avelus, nails may be cut. So why does Shmuel have to repeat? So I saw the Mefarshim answer. Shmuel holds Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'Avel. But one would think that that's not the first day of Avelus. Because why is Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'Avel? One would think because since Avelus is the Rabbanon, and we have a rule throughout Shas, Sofik the Rabbanon Lekula. So I would think on the other days, not on the first day of Avelus, one may cut his nails. But on the first day, he should not be allowed to cut the nail. That's why the Gemara tells us that Shmuel is passing like Rabbi Yossi. And not only is Shmuel passing like Rabbi Yossi by Avelus, it's not only on the other days of the Avelus, but even on the first day of Avelus, which may be Daraisa, the rule of Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel Ba'Avel applies, and therefore on all the days, Shmuel says, nails may be cut. We speak about this comment and this important rule of Halach Gedivrei Mekel Ba'Avel, which we'll have in today's shir, we'll have in Mitzvah Shem again tomorrow's shir, the Rishayim and the Paiskim discuss, and they say that when Shmuel tells us that Allah kadivir mekel ba'ovel, some Rishayim say it's only regarding a machloikis tanoim. If there's a machloikis tanoim in Hilchas Avelis, we go with the mekel. Others say that even applies to machloikis amaroim, but it's quite clear from the Achroinim, the Chazanish discusses this, that it doesn't apply to machloikis Achroinim. So let's say there'll be a shayla in Avelis, shayla that the modern Paiskim, or even the Achroinim, who are no longer alive, have a machloikis, and there's one that's mekel and one that's machmer, via the rule of Allah kedivrei mekel ba'ovel does not apply. Says the Gemara, Pinchas achved ma'ashol isser b'milsa. A tragedy happened in his family. Mefarshim explained that he lost a child. Earl Shmuel lemishel b'tam minei. Shmuel came, posh p'shat in the Gemara, as he came to be menachem avel him. Others explain that, as we learned earlier, even though an avel is not allowed to learn Torah, but if he's needed as the rav of the community to pask in a shayla, then even though he's in avelus, he's sitting shiva, one can ask him a shayla. And that was the situation. Shmuel came to ask his brother a shayla in halacha. Chazirin letofredav in nefisha. He saw his nails long. Amle, amay lo shakat lehu. Why don't you cut your nails? Amle, ibididei have a mimizalta bekulahai. If you were in a shiva, if you were in a velus, would you treat it lightly and cut your nails? Says the Gemara. Have a kishkoga hayyotzer lefnei hashalet. He didn't mean to say anything bad to his brother, but it accidentally came out. V'esri by milsa b'shmul. And Shmuel lost a child, and he was sitting in a velus. Or Pinchas achva l'mishal tam minei. And Shmuel, so now Pinchas is coming to be menachem avol Shmuel. Shekinu l'tafrei. He took his nails, chaftinu la'ape, and he threw them in front of Pinchas. Omle, leslach, don't you know that the halacha is bris krusulus v'asayim? That whatever one says, he has to be very careful what we say, even though certainly Pinchas had no bad intention when he said to Shmuel, if you were an avelus, he certainly didn't mean to wish bad for his brother. But we have to be careful when we speak. Dom Rab Yochanan, Menayin Shabris Krusulus Vasayim, where in Halacha do we find this concept? Shenema, V'yoyma Avram al Na'orof, Avram Avinu is going to the Akedah, and he's taking Yitzchak, and he takes along Yishmol and Eliezer. And he tells Yishmol and Eliezer, Shvulachem Poyachamar, you remain here, V'niva Na'a Nechakoy, we're gonna go, V'nishtachven, we'll worship Hashem, V'nishuva Aleichem, and then we'll come back. Now Avram Avinu didn't mean that they're gonna come back, because he was convinced that he will offer Yitzchak as a carbon. But what happened was, what happened, since Avram Avinu had uttered the words that we're going to come back, not only Avram Avinu, but even Yitzchak, that indeed happened. The other Tavayus, so when a person says something, even though it's not his intent, it happens. So Taisus asks the obvious question. There Avram said a good thing. Avram said, not intentionally, that Yitzchak and I will come back, that Yitzchak will survive. So there, perhaps, bris krusulus v'sayim, but if you say something nice, and you give a person a bracha, even if you didn't mean to give him a bracha, it happens. But here we're speaking about something bad happening, that Pinchas said to Shmuel that, what will be when you're an avelus? Where do we know that just that when somebody says unintentionally something bad to someone else, it'll happen? We know that throughout Shas, throughout Halacha, the concept is midah toiva merubah midah pranius. It's better, it's easier to make good things happen than make bad things happen. And Taisus doesn't answer the question. I looked for an answer. A lot of Mefarshim tried to answer. I didn't see really many answers that satisfied. I saw Chassam Sofer. Interesting Chassam Sofer. In Avram Avinu's mind, Yitzchak coming back wasn't a good thing. Avram Avinu really wanted to bring Yitzchak as a carbon. He really wanted to bring Yitzchak as an Akedah. And therefore, in Avram Avinu's mind, coming back is really a bad thing. But he said a bad thing, and it happened. So there we see that even if somebody says something bad, it happens. And the Paiskim say, this is the basis for a halacha. We know that if somebody has parents, or even if he still only has one parent, the makbid not to say Kaddish. Why? Based on this Gemara. Because let's say someone's in shul and he's saying Kaddish. He's saying Kaddish not for a parent. He's saying Kaddish for someone else. But people are going to ask, why is he saying Kaddish? they're assumed that he lost a relative. And we just learned in the Gemara, bris krusos fasayim, but people will say, you know, he must have lost a father or a mother or whatever. And if you say something bad, even though nobody wishes this person chas v'shalom bad, it may happen. Therefore, people, the minig is that if somebody has a parent, he doesn't say Kaddish, up to the point that I even saw that the Paiskim say, let's say someone's father-in-law left a tzavah. He didn't have any sons, he only had daughters, and he asked that his son-in-law should say Kaddish, and the son-in-law have a parent, they should probably not say the Kaddish. It's certainly not a posh to Shaila because of this Gemara. In fact, I even saw a tshuva from the Satmar Rebbe, the Shaila's tshuva, Stivri Yoyal. He discusses after the war, there were people that didn't come back, but it wasn't certain if they survived or didn't survive. And the question is, should a Kaddish be said after them? Should Yiska be said after them? On one hand, the Neshama, who isn't here, wants the Kaddish to be said and wants the Yiska to be said. It's a tikkun for the Neshama. But on the other hand, if he's alive, as we're learning now, it doesn't help. And he goes back and forth, what's the appropriate thing to do in such a situation? Says the Gemara, Sovimineh, so they said that even Shmuel that allows nails to be cut, the yad in the regaloi, only fingernails, not the nails on the feet. Why? Because on the feet are not that visible, so there's no issue of it being not nice that the person has long nails, and therefore we could perhaps not allow those nails to be cut. And in fact, I saw the Sharm Tzion Ba'alocha uses this Gemara's Svara La'alocha. There is a shaila the Pesukim can discuss, it's not for today's shir, if a woman forgets to cut her nails before she goes to the mikveh. Then after she comes out from the mikveh, she realized that she didn't cut the nail. So specifically by the fingernails, it's not simple, and many Pesukim say that you would have to cut her nails and go back to the mikveh. On the toenails, perhaps, just like Al Gemara says that the toenails is not so much of a concern, one can be more makel. Again, this is not lahaloch lemaisa. However, I heard from Shmuel, loishna the yad, loishna the regal, when nails may be cut, it makes no difference if it's fingernails or toenails. A gunstra may not be used. So as I said earlier, there are a lot of machloikas rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. I'm going to mention some of these machloikas, and at the end, we'll say the halach lemaisa. One machloikas rishonim is, what is the definition of a gunstra? Some Rishonim say that gunstra means a nail clipper. A specific nail clipper may not be used. However, a scissor, which is not made specifically to cut nails, would be permissible. Others say that gunstra means any type of scissor. And what Rav is saying is that if you're cutting your nails, you're not allowed to use a scissor. Not as another Machlokes Rishonim. There's a number of Machlokes Rishonim in this one line. Is Rav arguing with Shmuel? That Shmuel says one's allowed to cut the nails, comes Rav and says only without a nail scissor, or without a scissor. Or is Rav explaining Shmuel, that Shmuel said you're allowed to cut the nails, so Rav says, yeah, you could cut the nails, but only if you don't use a gunstra. And then there's another machlokes, regarding what situation is Rav speaking about. Is he speaking about a velus, or is he speaking about cholamoid? Just to try to understand this line. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shem Bar Abba, Hava Ke'im Nekameid Rabbi Yochanan Bei Medrasha, B'chol Shemoid. I was standing in front of Rabbi Yochanan in the Beis Medrash Shechol Amoid, V'chshiklinu L'tifre B'shinei, and he bit off his nails with his teeth, V'zerkinu, and he threw him down. Shmami Notlas. From here we learn three halachas. Number one is Shmami Notlital Tzupanayim B'chol Shemoid. You see, you're allowed to cut your nails B'chol Amoid. Exactly what happened. V'shmami Not. And we also learn that biting one's nails is not considered repulsive, and that you're allowed to throw the nails on the floor. So the Rishonim ask, and why don't we learn a fourth thing? That if you're cutting your nails, you're not allowed to use a scissor, because he bit them off. Why didn't he cut them off? So the Rishonim say that wouldn't be a conclusive proof, because in the Beis Medrash there's no scissor. So it doesn't mean he holds you're not allowed to use a scissor. He didn't have a scissor available. Ask the Gemara, Aini, is this true that one may just throw his nails? Vatanya, shloishadvarim nemputsupanaim. There are three things said regarding the nails. Hakoivam, one who buries the nails after cutting them, is a tzaddik. And the Paiskim say not just burying them, but putting them down the lavatory is also considered koivam. ha-chosid, karvim tzadik, sarfan, somebody who buries them, is a chosid. Zarkin, and if he just disposes them, rasha. So how could you just dispose them and let him throw them on the floor? Answers the Gemara. Tamamai, why are we so makbid about disposing the nails in this way? Because we're concerned, shema tavaleim isha ubra, perhaps a pregnant woman will pass by these nails, the tapel, and she'll miscarry. Isha be medrasha lo shchicha. A woman isn't in the Beis Medrash, so we don't have to worry about her seeing these fingernails in the Beis Medrash and miscarrying. So Mefarshim discuss, why does a woman specifically miscarry when she sees fingernails? So Mefarshim say there are two approaches. One is, the woman who's pregnant is sensitive and delicate, she's carrying a child. Seeing nails on the floor is repulsive, and getting that kind of a feeling could cause her to become weak and miscarry. Another pshat, it has nothing to do specifically with her not being weak or strong. It's a pi kabbalah, that a woman seeing fingernails causes her to miscarry. And I sort of mefarshim try to give a reason why. Because we all remember that Rashi teaches us in Parashas Bereishis that before Adam and Chava did the Avera, their entire body was like coated in the material that nails are made out of. After they did the Avera, they had to put on clothing, and only the nails still have that material. So when a woman sees the nails, she remembers that she did the Avera and brought this klola to the world, and that could cause her to miscarry. And therefore, the nails have to be disposed of, that they should not be seen. I saw what's the halacha? First halacha. Let's say someone cuts his nails and he's trying to cut into a receptacle and then dispose it properly, and it accidentally falls on the floor and he can't see it. What should he do? So the Gemara will tell us in a moment how he should deal with that. I saw Gevalda Gevart from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He says, why does the Gemara call someone who burns his fingernails a chassid? Why is he called a chassid? He says, this person who's burning his fingernails, what's he doing? It would be a lot easier to dispose of the nails in another way. It's a lot easier. You don't have to go start making a fire and burning it, and then the fire gives off a bad smell. It's easier to do it another way. Why is this person doing it anyway? Because he's worried about someone else. He's worried about this woman who's pregnant, should chas v'shalom not see the fingernails and come to be maple. A person who's worried about someone else at his own expense, that's the definition of a chassid.
Ever means see or step on?
It walk by. Ask the Gemara, the Chitema, even if the woman is not in the Beis Medrash, but when they sweep up the Beis Medrash, Zimna the Michneshi, they sweep up the Beis Medrash, V'shadalei Avroi, and they throw the nails outdoors and she'll see him there. Says the Gemara, Kivin the Ishtani Ishtani. Once the nails are not in the original place where they fell, there's no issue that they could cause a miscarriage. And therefore, if someone, as I said a moment ago, is cutting his nails, and they fall on the floor, and he can't find it, what should he do? He should take a broom and sweep the entire area where they could have fallen. Therefore, they won't be in the original spot, and once they're not in the original spot, they can't have this bad effect. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zog Ba Mechamsin Lefnei Rebbe, Omar Zutra, Masni Zorbog Mechamsel and Fnei Rebbe, either was Rabbi Yehuda that taught it to us, or Rabbi Zutra taught it to us, or Bikshim and Menei Tzupanayim, and he asked them, what is the halacha regarding nails? V'hitalhem. He said they may be cut. So now we get to the halacha l'maisa. Regarding Cholamoid, the Shulchan Aruch says that one may cut his nails on Cholamoid, in the regular fashion. The Rama, however, says that one should not use a scissor in cutting the nails on Chol HaMoed. However, in the Ramah, that's Machmer, there are a number of kulos brought down from the Paiskim that the Ramah would agree when one could cut his nails in a normal fashion. Number one, they say that if a woman has to go to the mikveh and she has to cut her nails, then the Ramah would agree she could cut her nails in a normal fashion on Chol HaMoed. The Shvus Yaakov says that even if one is cutting his nails, can't cut his nails in normal fashion, as the Ramah tells us, he could start using a scissor. That means he could cut apart, and then have something to grab on and tear off the rest of the nail. Another het that the Paiskim say is if one cut his nails already Erev Yontif, so he showed that he, like we've been learning, that he didn't specifically wait for Yontif to cut his nails, and such a person may cut his nails a Chol HaMoed. Moreover, the Paiskim say that if one has a minig, that every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontif he cuts his nails, then Erev Shabbos Chol HaMoed or Erev Yontif the second day, even the Ramah will agree he could cut his nails. That's regarding Chol HaMoed in the normal fashion. What about Avelis? Regarding Avelis, the Shulchan Aruch is a lot more machmer, and the halacha is that we don't cut our nails, not only not shouldn't be us, Avel doesn't cut his nail during the Shiva, nor during the Shloshim. The Ramah says that if a woman has to go to the mikveh, so it's not during the Shiva, because she's not allowed to go to the mikveh during the Shiva, but if she has to go to the mikveh after the Shiva, she should have someone else cut the nails on their behalf. And the Paiskim also seem to be makel that after the Shiva, if one's nails are really bothering him, he shouldn't use a scissor, he should cut, bite them off or tear them off. Continues the Gemara, what he also said, when Bikshu men Safa, had he asked about cutting off the mustache, Hitalahem, he would have allowed them to cut the mustache also. The Shmuelama, at Bikshu men Safa, they actually asked what is the halacha regarding a mustache, the Hitalahem. Omer Avito Safa Mishmei Trapapa, Safa, the mustache, may be cut Mizavis Lazavis, from one corner of the mouth to the other corner of the mouth. Omer of Ami, Ubisofa Makevis, it only is if the mustache is disturbing him. Omer Rav Nachma Yitzchak, Ledi, the entire mustache by me, it's Kisofa Makevis Domili, and therefore I could cut it off. As far as the mustache is concerned, the Paiskim say, again, a difference between Chol HaMoed and Avelis. A Chol HaMoed, the Paiskim say, a mustache, particularly if it's disturbing you from being able to eat, can be trimmed. In Avelis, the Paiskim are more machmer during the Shiva and the Shloshim about cutting one's mustache. If one's mustache is so much of an issue that it's bothering him that he isn't able to eat, after the Shiva maybe it could be trimmed, a Shaila should be asked. Since this Amar Avital was mentioned, so the Amar mentions another thing that he said. Amar Avital Safra Mishmei Rapapa, Paroi Shahoi B'mei Ma'isha, the Paroi that we know that was in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hu Amma, he was a midget. He was only an Amma tall. The Ziknoi Amai, and his beard was an Amma long, Upar Mashdatkoi, his Aver was an Amma Vazeris, was longer than him. A low person, Yochim Alem. So obviously, this Gemara is an exaggeration. The Mefarshim explain what is the Gemara teaching us. Usually the Gemara says, the greater the person is, the bigger his Yetzahar is. The smaller the person, the smaller his Yetzahara. Here the Gemara is saying is that Paro was a small person. He was a Shval Anoshim. But his Yetzahara, which is represented by his Oma, was a very big Yetzirah, which is usually not the way, usually doesn't travel together. He was a small person with a big Yetzirah. Paro that was in the time of Moshe, Amgushi Haya. Says Machlekes, what does an Amgushi mean? Some say he was a sorcerer, made Kishif, and others say he was an Apikiris. He always used to go out to the river. So according to the Mandom that he was a sorcerer, because Kishif typically is done by the Nilus. According to the Mandam that he was a min, he used to go out to the Nilus, which we know that Mitzrayim lives off the Nilus, and he used to say, I made this river. We learned that these people could clone their clothing Chol HaMoed. Habam Medina Siyam, somebody wasn't here before Yontif. Amar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan. Misha Ein Lechelek Echad, if somebody only has one garment, Mutal Lechaps B'Chol HaMoed, he may wash in Chol HaMoed. Maser of Yimriya asks of Yimriya, Ein Lechaps B'Moed, it says that the following people could wash their clothing in Chol HaMoed, Habba Medina Siyam. And the Mishnah gave us a list. So what's the Diyuk? Hani in. Only those people listed in the Mishnah may wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed. However, our Mishnah doesn't mention Misha Ein Lechelek Echad. So it seems that our Mishnah would not allow someone who only has one garment to wash in Chol HaMoed. I'll explain to you Pshat our Mishnah. Avgav the Islay Trey. Our Mishnah is referring to a person who has more than one garment. umitnafi, and they become dirty. So our Mishnah says that if he wasn't able to wash his clothing before Chalamoid, he could wash it a Chalamoid. Our Mishnah isn't even mentioning somebody who only has one garment, because somebody who has only one garment certainly may wash in a Chalamoid. So our Mishnah is teaching us that somebody has two garments, but under certain circumstances he could wash his garments a Chalamoid. There's a Machlekes Rishonim that this person who's mentioned in our Mishnah who has two garments, which garments is he allowed to wash Chalamoid? Some Rishonim say he could wash both. Others say even though we're allowing him to wash garments a Chalamoid, he could only wash as much the garment that he needs, not the second garment. But we're learning now that somebody who only has one garment is allowed to wash in a Chalamoid. The Paiskim say that this halacha is the basis for a din that we're all familiar with, that children's clothing, even if the children of Baruch Hashem have more than one set of clothing, may be washed in Chalamoid. Because why, if somebody only has one garment, may be washed in Chalamoid? Because he needs to wear it, he has nothing else. Children who constantly get their clothing dirty, so it's like their Mishay Enlay Al-Chaluk Echad, and our Gemara is teaching us that Mishay Enlay Al-Chaluk Echad may wash in a Chalamoid. Continues the Gemara. Sholach Rav Yitzchak B'Yakob Agurim Mishmeid Rav Yochanan. Kli Pishtun, linen clothing, Mutal Chapsum Chal Shemoid, may be washed in a Chalamoid. And there are two approaches in Rishonim to understand why. One approach is because linen garments are not such a tircha to wash, and Chalamoid tircha is asr, but linen clothing is not such a tircha. Another approach is that linen clothing get dirty and creased very quickly and easily, and therefore they may be washed in Chalamoid. Masiv Rava, it says in our Mishnah, Mitpachas Yadayim, hand towels, Mitpachas HaSforim. Rashi says Mitpachas HaSforim means the sheets that the barbers use. Another Shataisu says is that the covers that were put around the Sforim may be washed in Chalamoid. So what's our Mishnah teaching us? Hanayin, only these things may be washed in Chalamoid. Kli Pishtan Loi, but not linen garments. Amar Abayis, Abayis says no. Masnis and I feel the Sharmini. Our Mishnah is talking about not made out of linen. If it's not made out of linen, but if it's a hand towel, it's Mepachas Forum, then they'll be washed. But if they're linen, everything may be washed. Amar Bahidya, Ladi Chazal Yam Shal Tveria, I saw by the river of Tveria, the Mavkli Meshakli, the Mani Kitna B'chol the Mayid, that they used to take out whole baskets of linen clothing to wash the B'chol Mayid. Seemingly a proof that they may be washed B'chol Mayid. Maskel of Abaya, so asks Abaya, Man Leimulad V'chotz Chamavidi. Just because we see that they took out those clothing, doesn't mean that the Chazal was satisfied with what they were doing. Just because we saw them taking it out doesn't mean that the Chazal was satisfied, and that shouldn't be conclusive proof. So Mefarshim asked, if Chazal weren't happy, they should have said so. Isn't the fact that they didn't protest a proof that they agreed what they were doing? So the Mefarshim answer, and this is a cloud that we've already used, there's a cloud of Mutav Shei Shogig and Valiyei Mezidim. It's always better if you see that you're going to say something, you're not going to listen, don't say it. But that rule only applies by a derabbanan, not by a deraisa. If I see somebody with Michal Shavs with deraisa, and I say he won't listen to me anyway, I have to say something. So that's pshat. Washing clothing in Cholamot is a derabbanan. So perhaps Chazal were aware that the people wouldn't listen, and it's only in this derabbanan, and Mutav Shei Shogig V'Yayim Mezidin, that's why they didn't say anything, that's why they're not saying anything doesn't mean that they approved. Halacha. So the halacha is as follows. The Rishonim all say that linen clothing may be washed in Chalamoid, but the Hagos Ashri already says, he was a Rishon, that the minig is that we don't wash any clothing, even linen clothing, unless the term that we've been discussing. And the Paiskim all say that once this minig came into effect, it becomes a minig that remains for all future generations, and there is no special dispensation to wash linen clothing on Cholamoid. Our Mishnayos, this Mishnah, the next Mishnah, Mitzvah Shem, now begin discussing writing on Cholamoid. Says the Mishnah, Eilu Kais V'Moid, the following documents may be written on Cholamoid. Writing is considered a perfect example of a melacha that may not be done on Cholamoid, and the following documents may be written on Cholamoid, says the Mishnah. Kedusha Nishim. So the Bar Tanur explains, as we all remember, the first Mishnah Masechta Kedushin says that one of the ways on a Kedushin could be affected is Kesef Shtar Biya. So let's say somebody doesn't have any money, Nebuch, to give the kala to Makadishur. He could write it on a piece of paper, even the piece of paper is not worth a pruta. That's exactly what happens here. Gitten, a get may be written a chalamayit. Why may a get be written a chalamayit? So some of Farshim explain that either, I guess this happened then also already, that we had a situation where the husband didn't want to give a get, and a chalamayit, he agreed to give a get. And we're concerned that if we'll wait for after Yontif, he may change his mind. So we gotta get the get written. Or another pshat. The Gemara mentions many times in those days, when people traveled overseas, it was a dangerous trip, and they weren't sure if they're going to come back. So they used to write a get to their wife. She shouldn't, chas v'shalom, remain in Aguna. Here we're dealing with a situation where the person is going to be taking such a trip. So it's to her benefit that she shouldn't remain, chas v'shalom, in Aguna. We write the get to Chol HaMoed. So the Rishonim discuss, what will be the halacha? That's not the situation. The husband and the wife agree to divorce. He isn't going overseas. May a get be written under those circumstances of Chol HaMoed? Some Rishonim say, no, then the get, we should wait for after Chol HaMoed. Other Rishonim say, loy plug. Once Chazal taught us that a get can be written in Chol HaMoed, yes, because of the reasons that we just explained, they remain, those a get can be written under all circumstances. Shaivr. The Rishonim explain that usually, if a malva lends money to a loiva, so how, when the loiva pays back, he gives, the malva rips up the shtar, gives back the loiva the shtar, the IOU. Here the malva lost the shtar. So how, so the loiva doesn't want to pay back. He says, because then you'll take out the shtar again and say, I still owe you the money. So what is done? They write a shoiva receipt. Here we're dealing with a situation where the roiva is prepared to pay. But he says, if I won't have a shoiver, I'm not going to pay. Because I'm concerned that you're going to pull out the shtar that I owe you still the money. So the malva, to the malva, it's a davar ovid, Taisus explains. Because he doesn't know if the loiva will be here or be willing to pay after Yontif. And therefore a shoiver could be written. Daideki, the halacha is a shchimera. Mar mentions that many times. A person who's deathly ill, if he says that this should belong to a certain person, that shtar, that kiksuvim kumsurim dami, it's considered a full-fledged gift. And there are Edim that hear the Shchimera saying it. We're concerned that the Edim may not be here after Yontif, or they may forget. It's a dover of it. It could be written in the Chol HaMoed. Matana, the same as a Matana. Reuven gives Shimon a gift. And we're concerned that after Yontif he may change his mind. He may not be here. The Edim that saw this happening may not be here. So that shtar documenting that this happened may be written in the Chol HaMoed. Plausible. The halacha is, we know that in the Shemitah year, all loans become null and void. Hillel came up, it's not today, Shir, with a method how that should be avoided, a plausible. So shtar, plausible, could be written in Chol HaMoed. The Mefarshim ask, Chol HaMoed is never near the time of a plausible. Chol HaMoed Sukkos, Chol HaMoed Pesach, the plausible is Rosh Hashanah, is when Shemitah begins. So why could a plausible be written? So Rishonim answer that our Gemara is referring to a situation where this person is traveling away, and he won't be near anywhere with his Abes Din until Shemitah begins. Igros Shum, the Abes Din, there was somebody who passed away, and he left an estate, and Abes Din assessed the value of the different elements of the estate. This document can be written in Chol HaMoed. Igros Mazon, if somebody undertook to support his stepdaughter, that document can be written in Chol HaMoed, because we're concerned that till after Yontif he'll forget, or he'll change his mind. The Eidim will forget. Shtari Chalitza, a woman had Chalitza. That means her husband died and they had no children. And she has to have Yibam Chalitza. And her brother-in-law gives her Chalitza. And now she wants to travel away. And she's concerned that she's going to want to go to another city and nobody's going to marry her because he said you didn't have Chalitza. So she needs a document proving that she had chalitza. Such a document can be written in Chol HaMoed. Miyunim. If midaraisa, a father can marry off his daughter, even if she's a ketana. Rabbanan said that a mother or a brother may also, but since it's only kedusha de Rabbanan, before the girl becomes a gedola, she could be maman. She could annul the marriage. So here, she annulled the marriage in Chol HaMoed. We allow that to happen because we're concerned that till after Yontif she may have Shtei Saris, she may be a Gedoila, and then she can't do Miyun, so we allow it to take place in Chol HaMoed. Shtari Beruin, according to Rashi, the definition of Shtar Berurim, it was a Din Torah between two parties. A Bezin said, you're entitled to this, you're entitled to that. Other Rishonim explained the Shtar Berurim is a document that's signed when a Din Torah begins, each one representing who will be the heir buyer, Zabar Layachet, Zabar Layachet. Gzeres Bezin came out with a Psak, Vigra Shalshum. There's a lot of definitions of Igra Shalshum. Rashi explains Igra Shalshum that the government gave out a new decree, and that's the time, Igra Shalshus, I mean, the government gave out a decree, and they have to publicize it. Another Pshat Rishonim say, is Igra Shalshus is that we need to communicate with the government, we're allowed to write a letter, a Chalamayt. And Taisha says another Pshat, Igra Shalshus, is that people don't do this so much anymore, that they write a letter, just a social letter, to a friend. That's not something that's really done professionally, and it may be done Chalamayt. The way we explain this Mishnah, which is actually the way Taisus explains the Mishnah, that all these situations are a situation of a Dover HaOvid. That if we won't do this, it may be a missed opportunity. The Rambam has a different approach to the Mishnah. The Rambam's approach to the Mishnah is that all these things are Tzorchei HaRabim. That it's something that the public needs. The Bir HaLocha, based on Taisus' explanation, says a very big Chiddush, which is a shal that we already discussed. He says from here we see that even a Sofik Dover Ovid is Mutter. Because all the cases that we explained the Mishnah, it's not for sure that there's going to be a Dover Ovid. There's only a possibility. And from here we see that even a Sofik Dover Ovid is considered like a Dover Ovid. There's another difference between the Rambam's approach and Taisus's approach. Because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that if one is doing something Chalamay because it's a Dover Ovid, he could do it even without a Shinui. But if one is doing something for a different reason, he should try to do it with a shinui. So according to Taisus' explanation of the Mishnah, all these things are permissible to be done, even without a shinui.
Social letter,
Taisus says it's a davar avid, because it loses an opportunity to cause friendship between ourselves. Omer Shmuel, mutal aris ish b'chalamayit. One can get engaged. Aris is not really engagement, it's much more. But we'll use that word. Shem yikadmena achar. Because if he won't get engaged to this woman, maybe after Yontif, someone else will get engaged to her. So perhaps our Mishnah is a proof. Because we just learned in the Mishnah, the following things may be written in the Moed, Kedushay Noshim, Mailav, Shtari Kedusha Mamish. And why can they be written in Chol HaMoed? Because we're concerned about Shemik Dani Acher. So we don't have a proof for our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah is referring to Shtar Psikta. That there used to be a document written between the girl's father and the boy's father what each side will provide. We could have Gidla Marav. Don't have Gidla Marav. Come out to Nois Labincha. How much is the father of the Chosin obligating himself? Kach v'kach. Come out to Nois Labincha. How much is the father of the Kala obligating? Kach v'kach. Under the Kitshu. And then they get married. Even though normally a document, just writing a document, is not enough. We have to have a kinyan. Kanu. Here there's no requirement for another kinyan. Hein hein advarim haniknim b'amira. This works, the document, as soon as the kedushin becomes effective, becomes legally binding. But first, the Pais can say it's only legally binding on the father. That if the father wrote in the document, I will provide this much, so he has to give it as soon as the kedushin happens. But a father cannot write a document which will legally bind his son. So that's what the Mishnah is referring to. So we have no proof of Shem Yigdanim Acher. So Gemara tries to say a different raya. Leim Masailei, Ein Noisim Noshim Emoyed. We're not allowed to get married. We learned this Mishnah before on Nafches. Lo Besulois, Lo Yamanois, Lo Miyabim, Nesha Simcha Loi. And Ein Marvin Simcha Besimcha, that's why we can't do these things with Chalamayit. Hola Aris. But to get engaged, shari. So we have a proof that because of Shem Yigdanim Acher, we could get engaged in Yontif. So the Gemara, Lomi Bayi Kama. The way to understand that Mishnah goes without saying. Lomi Bayi La'aris, certainly getting engaged. The Lo Kavod Mitzvah is prohibited in Chol HaMoed. Erafila Isanami, but getting married, where you can kind of mitzvahs puravu, the Kamavit Mitzvah, awesome. Actually, the Rambam says that getting Ma'aris is a mitzvah. Getting engaged is a mitzvah because it's the first step towards puravu. Toshma, the Tarashmu, Marsim of Lykoinsim, we're allowed to get engaged. We're just not allowed to get married. Then Oysen Suda Sarusin. Even though we're allowed to get engaged, we're not allowed to make a Suda. V'lo Miyabim,
Minesha Simchaloi. Shmaminafer, here we see clear that you're allowed to get engaged al Chalamoid. Why? Because Shem Yigdana Acher. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amashmul Shem Yigdana Acher, Ishmul concerned for Shem Yigdana, Vamar Yuda Mashmul, Bechoyoim Vyoim, every day Basko Yoitzis Vimeris, Bas Ploini Laploini. The following daughter of this man will get engaged to this boy. The freshman asks, why by the girl does it say Bas Ploini, and by the boy it doesn't say Ben Ploini, it just says Ploini. So the freshman say, the girl's father has the right and obligation to marry off his daughter. So it's called Bas Ploini. Another pshat is that when the girl is destined to be married to a certain man, she may not yet be born. Many times the kal is younger than the chassan. So she's not here yet. Only her father is here. But they already say this person's going to have a bas, and that bas will be married to this man. So the Ploini, la Ploini. This field will go to this person. So Mefarshim say, we know that when a person is created, it's already destined if it'll be wealthy or not. What is the Gemara connecting Sada Ploini Laploini to the marriage? So Mefarshim say a very powerful word. People sometimes think that they get married for money. So I'll take a rich kala so I should have money. So Gemara says Sada Ploini Laploini. Getting wealthy or not wealthy has nothing to do with whom you're going to marry. It's whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. That's what makes the difference. And don't look for money in getting married. So we see that it's already predestined. So why do we worry that somebody else is going to chap your kala? Says the Gemara, Shem Yigdanim Acha Barachman. Through tefillah, it could change. Kehada Rava, Shamla who gavered the boy Rachmi, he heard a person davening, Vomit Dizdamili Plinsa. I'm davening, I would like to marry this woman. That's not the way to daven. If this is the woman that's bashert for you, she won't leave you. And if not, kafarta b'Hashem. You don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he heard the Kamei said, either I should die or she should die. So Mefarshim explained two pshatim. One pshat is he was saying, yes, I accept what Shmuel says. Whatever is bashert is bashert. But if this woman is not destined to me, I can't withstand watching that she should be married to someone else. And that's why either I should leave the world or she should leave the world. Another pshat is, sometimes a person could daven, I want this woman. And the tefillah will be listened. But it was already bashert that she's going to marry someone else. So what's going to happen is that he's going to have to die young so that she still be able to marry the person who was bashert for her. So don't daven that way. Amalai lava mina lava mina loch tinta. I tell you, like to buy loch milsa. Hacha amar shmu, because hacha amar ram shum rav shum ruvim beit espoiler. Mina tayer mina vim mina ksuvim. We have psukim throughout Tanakh. Hashem ishal ish. Hakadosh Baruch Hu destines who we're going to marry. Mina tayer the ksuv yan lovim psul. V'yam Hashem yatsa davar. Hakadosh Baruch Hu destined this. Mina vim the ksuv va'ove v'imu la yada ki Hashem hi. Shimshon wanted to marry a girl who was a Plishti from Timnas. His parents couldn't understand, but it was from Hashem. One can inherit money, Hashem isha maskelis. So Mefarshim asks, why do we need three psukim? So Mefarshim say, the Gemara is trying to teach us that all kinds of shidduchim are min Hashemayim. The shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka was a tzaddik to a tzaddikis. The shidduch of Shimshon with his wife was a tzaddik to marshas. And the other pasuk is a isha who's a tzaddikis to a man who's not. All types of shidduchim is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'amrav Rav Mishum Rav Ruvim Beret Tzitzbuli V'amrav Masnis Etana V'amrav Ruvim Beret Tzitzbuli En Adam Nech Shebedover. People are not accused of doing something Elm Ken Asa. And actually, unless they really did it. V'imloy Asa, if they didn't actually do it. V'imloy Asa Kula, they didn't do the entire act. Asa Mektsasai, did part of it. V'imloy Asa Mektsasai Hir Beliba Lasaisai. He must have thought to do it. When we hear believe us, even if he never thought to do such an avera, ra cherem shasu, he must have seen people doing this avera, but somehow he was satisfied. Moser of Yaakov asked of Yaakov, how can we say that such a statement is correct? The chapur b'nei Yisrael dvorm al ashaloi kena al Hashem alakeim. Klai Yisrael accused the Kadosh Baruch of doing things that he never did. Hasam lahak sudavet. It's just out of spite to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Toshma. The pasuk says, "V'yikanu l'moishe b'machna l'aron k'daysh Hashem." Rashmu bar Yitzchak Amir, "Melamed shekal echad kina ishtar m'moishe." Everybody accused Moshe that he had relations with their wives, and we know that the halacha is if somebody accuses a wife of adultery, they go through the process of kina and stira. Hasam says the Gemara Mishum Sinahu David. They did it not because they accused Moshe that they really believed Moshe did this. It was out of hatred. So I saw the Mefarshim say a beautiful pshat. What got them upset at their wives got Moshe Rabbeinu? They saw a very interesting phenomenon. When we learned the Gemara, that when Aaron asked for donations for the eagle, the women didn't donate. But when Moshe Rabbeinu asked for donations for the Mishkan, all the women donated. So they got concerned. Why do they listen to what Moshe Rabbeinu says and they don't listen to us? That's why it was the sinner. Tashma, Amar Rav Yosi, Yechalki Mishachoshnos B'Dover V'Einboy. I should have been in the group of people that they accused but didn't do anything wrong. Mama Papa Ladi Chajdan, I was accused of something like Kashbi. So we see that just because you're accused of something doesn't mean that you have any connection to it. So it's more like Kasha. Hab called the Pasik. If you're accused with a rumor that stops, doesn't mean anything. Hab called the Pasik. If the rumor doesn't stop, that means that you must have some connection to the Saveira. Ask the Gemara, the called the Pasik a comma. What is the definition of a rumor that doesn't stop? Omar by Omarly Aim. Dumi the Masa, a rumor in a city that's considered not stopping. Yomer Palg is a day and a half long. The Hani Mili, the Loi Pasik Beni Beni. It's continuous. Alva Pasik Beni Beni, if it stops, less limbo. The Chay Pasik Beni Beni, if it stops, Loi Amaran, Allah the Pasik Makmas Yira. That it didn't stop because people were concerned, scared. Alva Pachas Makmas Yira Loi. The Loi Amaran, Allah the Loi Hadan Avoit, didn't reactivate. Avo Hadan Avoit, if it reactivates, it's considered a real rumor. The Loi Amaran, El Deles Loi Avon. It's only if a person doesn't have enemies. Aval Islay Ivan, if a person has enemies, Ivan Hudafkal Kola, they one that started the rumor and doesn't mean that the person has any connection to the Saveira. All right.